coming at you live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California. This is, should I do the halting thing? The Blue Heaven Podcast. Figured I'd throw that in there. What's going on, Dodgers Nation? My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram.
It's smoky South Pasadena. Smoky, yeah. South Pasadena. Appreciate it.
It's still kind of nice.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Guys, my name is Brooke. You can find me at BrookeMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. On today's show, we have so much going on today because we are starting the single biggest series of our entire, no, not of our entire lives, but it is a really big series coming out, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about dominating the Houston Astros for 17 of 18 innings. Not quite all of them.
didn't quite make it.
I think a lot of you are probably going to want to talk about, I don't even know how to describe this, the worst broadcast that I have ever watched in my entire career as a baseball fan.
As a living human that had cable or access to the game?
Exactly. As a television consumer, I did not enjoy that one bit.
As I called it, ESPN No Mas.
No Mas. Yeah. That's good.
We also are coming at you live as a pregame before the Dodgers play the Slam Diego Padres. You know, those guys that like to have fun, and they ruin the game. But we have a guest on. We're going to call live a guy I've talked to a few times. He's a host of a Padres podcast. So we're going to – I mean, we've been in trouble for having, air quote, bad takes. You know,
we have a lot of them.
That's what, you know, people like, you know, fans and our grandmothers and Gary said. We have really bad takes. So it's like, okay, we're going to bring in somebody who might know about their team or whatever. So we'll get to that. And Manfred's prohibition, apparently – Rob Manfred is trying to take away fun from baseball when you win, and that's not cool. But before we get into things, we got to remind you this is a podcast. So,
is it?
You should like us. You should subscribe to us. You could find us on iTunes, Twitter, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM. I think, I don't know. We changed podcast hosts. We're on Pandora, I believe. I probably got to look and make sure that's all good, but. Things happened. Things moved around.
That was really well said.
We also have comments.
Yeah, we do. Guys, don't forget this is a live stream. We are live in the flesh. Not really in the flesh because we're over here. You're over there, wherever you might be. Unless you're outside, in which case you are in the flesh. This is a live stream, though. Make sure you drop in those comments. Let us know where you're watching from, whether it be on Facebook, on Periscope, on YouTube, on our Twitch stream. We have maybe 3 Twitch stream watchers every single time. But we want to know where you're repping Dodger Nation tonight, where you're watching from, where you're going to be watching the game tonight from. Drop in, let's go. Let's jump into those comments a little bit because Randy Shipley over on Facebook says Fox Sports was worse than ESPN, and I don't know if anything can be worse than ESPN personally.
Smoltzy wasn't as bad. I think John Smoltz was kind of restrained by the fact that he was.
If you want to talk about people
studio.
Who hate fun. John Smoltz is definitely one of those guys.
But he also likes that he hates fun. He plays into that, so that's always fun right there.
At least he has a personality.
We got our friend Sierra in the stream who says, hey, well, A right back to you, and that's with 4 Ys.
Hello.
4 Ys. A sailed loner said, drink the Jim Beam. We are. You can't, oh, there it is. We just cracked this bad boy open. Finally.
Is this our first, like, actual one of these bottles?
On the show, yeah.
On the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had 2 of them on my own.
He would never.
I would never do that. I had it with friends.
Jim Beam.
Responsibly.
Eat fresh.
Adjacent. Julian says the trash tros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a fun series.
Oh, that was it. That's it.
Just yeah. A sailed loner also says, my not-so-fire take, ESPN sucks. Hey.
There are a lot of people in this stream right now who are not a fan of the ESPN broadcast, and that is, frankly, Not surprising. I would rather have heard Matt Chapman's yoga routine or whatever we were talking about last time than whatever the hell we just listened to this past weekend.
I would have rather have heard Aroldis Chapman in the bathroom after almost crapping himself on the mound.
That quality entertainment, by the way. Katie, one of the best things I've ever read.
Katie was lucked out by having to work yesterday, so she heard Tim, our good friend of the show, Tim Neverett, and Rick Monday for the majority of the game over that of Vaz Gersian and the other guy, and our friend Buster Olney, who was way underutilized in that broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
It was very frustrating.
They used him like once or twice, and it was great when they used him. That was it.
Michelle Carter asks, how much Jim Beam do y'all need? Let's see, 2.
Do you have extra?
4.
is that what you're saying?
6, 7, and that many. And Gary took some, which is very rude. Very rude.
All you guys taking all the alcohol. Vicky over on Facebook is watching from Banning. I'm assuming that's Banning, California, because I don't know any other Bannings. But welcome, Vicky from Banning.
No, it's actually, that was Alana Rizzo. She said she's banning you.
She's banning you.
Yeah. There you go.
Sorry, Vicky, you're gone. Justin over on Periscope says, first time in the stream. I have a better stash than both of you guys, so watch yourselves. Justin is about to take over our jobs because he has a better mustache. Justin, if you don't prove it, I don't know what else to tell you.
What? Who's this guy think he is? Justin?
A mustache.
Probably.
I don't know.
I must ask you a few questions. Oh. Yep. Do we have that giveaway? I think there's a giveaway or something, too. I should have looked at the page.
You probably should have looked at the page, but you know, we're always doing giveaways over at DodgeNation.com, guys. Didn't you know? And you know the only way to win said giveaways is to be a part of this show and know when they're happening and when they're going live. We do giveaways. We do them often. They're mostly good.
Yeah.
I would say they're mostly good. I like free stuff. I think you guys like free stuff.
You guys have seen a lot of the Dodgers Nation gear over time. There's the famous nice swing bitch shirt from Joe Kelly. That's over on gearup.la. We got all the ones that are behind you guys that you can't see. Our famous Think Blue, Bleed Blue, as worn by Andrew Friedman. There's a legendary shirt with 42. Brooklyn-born LA Rays. There's a lot of them. I forgot to get a shot of those because I got here late. But go to DodgersNation.com/giveaways. We're giving away a shirt. I think it's one, maybe more. I forget. Gary, you let us know in the comments below what we're doing. But check it out. Go to, again, DodgersNation.com/giveaways. We're giving away a shirt, and the deadline to enter is the 27th. So you have until pretty much the end of the season, and we're going to announce it on the 28th, which is the Monday, which will be the last show of September, and then the last show before we get into playoffs. So
win one of those fancy shirts. They're really cool.
And it's any shirt you want.
We saw a nice swing bitch shirt at a dog park a couple days ago.
Oh.
We didn't say anything to him. I thought it would be weird.
I saw Mrs. Brooke post something about that.
I made that. Like,
Thanks for wearing my
shirt. And he's just
shirt.
Like, okay. Like, there's no good way to do it. El Cariza over on Periscope. He's going under his original name, his God-given name over on Periscope, Christopher. Coward. His wife and I can confirm them shirts and hoodies be comfortable. Comfort is the most important thing. I don't even care what's on it.
All right, let's get into the good stuff because we got a guest waiting in the green room. He's just waiting on his phone because we're calling him. We can't really have guests here anymore because of the thing. But we split with the Cheaters. We won the season series 3-1, but we split in L.A. with the Cheaters, and it was
frustrating.
17 innings of brilliant baseball and one nightmare on Chavez Ravine at Chavez Ravine.
Yeah. I'm looking for a nice way to say this. There's not really a nice way to say it. I did.
It was really good. There was dominating baseball that happened for 17 innings.
It was really enjoyable for those 17 innings. There was just one really terrible, no good, very bad inning.
It almost got, maybe
you guys can back me up on this. Maybe you can't. But it got to a point where it went from frustration to where I was just laughing. I was like, there's no way this is still happening.
Yeah.
Number one, the fact that it's still happening. Number two, how is he still in this game right now? What is going on right? It just kept going. The nightmare continued.
I think it's on The Simpsons. There's a scene on The Simpsons back in the day, back when they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were kicking like a fake Krusty the Clown, and he's like, stop, he's already dead. That's what that ending felt like to me. But it was about our souls. But before we get into I don't want to lead off with the bad. I don't want to lead off with the Kenley part. We know that's bad. Again, if we're being honest, we're not even being homery about it. The Dodgers looked really good. The Dodgers looked again like a team. It's like, man, this team can go out and win. Granted, the Astros aren't great. We know they're not great. Apparently, we have to update the PC over there, but
no.
They're not fantastic. They're not bad.
Okay.
And, you know, at least one of them usually tends to turn it on when they're playing against us.
Okay.
This time it was more Springer,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, I think. Yeah. Right. I don't know, whatever. Hate them all.
And I would say of the entire Astros roster, it's kind of hard to pick out a guy that you hate the least, but I actually probably hate George Springer the least. And because... Simply because he seems to be the one that most wants out of Houston more than anything in the world.
He's not like
that. I have never seen a guy that wants off a team so badly. He's going to be a Met by the day after the playoffs end. I don't know when the free agent signings open up, but pretty quickly after. Guys, winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals.
Rejoice, it's time to celebrate the MLB season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code BLUEHEAVEN, all one word. Double your first deposit by using that promo code. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, which is, I hear, good. Designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet.
From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code BLUEHEAVEN, again, all one word, BLUEHEAVEN, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
And overtime is going all in for our listeners. We're giving away $500 cash to one lucky person who takes advantage of this offer. So when you make your deposit, take a screen grab of your MyBookie account and email it to overtime@advertisecast.com. That's OVERTIME at ADVERTISECAST.com. $500 given away at the end of September from Overtime, from my, well, not from my bookie, but you know, you get the idea. It's gonna be a thing. Money. Money's fun. Go play. Go do something. Do something with your life. Yeah, I can imagine that first game being even more frustrating for some of the people who, like, I didn't. Did you have any problems with the Fox broadcast with Joe and John?
No, I mean, it was fine. I always prefer, I mean, listen, you guys understand that you are the most spoiled fan base in the world in a good way, in the sense of that you have gone from Vin Scully, who is just masterful, a legend, everything that is heavenly, angelic, and perfect in the television broadcast world,
yeah,
to Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser, who came together and turned into maybe one of the best duos I've ever heard in broadcast sports history. Like, they are fantastic. And so when you take a step down from that, obviously, no matter who you partner up with, Joe, it's going to feel like a little bit of a step down, because you're like, wait a minute, where's Oral? They don't have that chemistry together. What is this crap? So personally, didn't have a problem with it. I don't like John Smoltz. I think he's a bad person, and I don't really like him for baseball, but dude, that ESPN broadcast was just so bad. There's no way to compare it.
Yeah, to have the loss at least be somewhat softened by having Joe on the call, it made it slightly better for me. But to go to ESPN, I went into it having a little bit more higher hopes. You know, we're building something of a relationship with the people at ESPN, and you feel bad having to say something critical about their broadcast. But when it hits a point where they're not even – they're completely avoiding the fact that the damn Astros are cheaters. They're talking about them needing a fresh start and all that, and that's where a lot of fans drew the line.
One of the biggest problems that I have is, I was like, it is such a weird move to mic up Carlos Correa, of all people on that team, to be like, hey, here's the one that Los Angeles fans hate the most. Here's the guy that's been the most vocal. Here's the guy that's arguably the biggest cheater on the team, by the way. And let's just mic him up and see what he has to say. And then to, like, dance around everything with him, to be like, we're not going to really talk about cheating with him. We're just going to talk about the team now and moving forward. And then to go to the Dodgers and be like, well, what do you think about the Astros? And it's like, you know what they think about the Astros. Why do we have to do this? We already know what's happening. Kike Hernandez, by the way, absolutely did not want to be mic'd up during that. And it does not make sense to mic up infielders, by the way. Like,
well, he was in center field, but
in terms of Correa shut down, because he's like, dude, I have to be in every single play. Like, he even said it, like, I got to get ready. Like, I'm sorry, guys.
Even Max on Friday, like, in theory, it's cool.
I like miking up players. I'm all for that. But
maybe the first baseman, maybe,
dude,
just batters.
Catcher. Mic up a catcher. Austin Barnes, like, behind the plate, just being pissed off. I'm all for that.
Yeah, there's a lot better ways to do it than to... I definitely would not have the infielders doing it. I 100% agree with you there. The broadcast was so bad. Alana Rizzo got in on the action. She just tweeted in all caps, mute. For Alana to...
Alana's very, you know, that's...
For Alana to slam... not colleagues, right. to slam peers, it's bad. It's really bad. And if you're trying to toe this line and make it a balanced broadcast for both sides, you did it wrong. You did it really, really bad, in fact. And you know, it's not just, hey, only the Dodgers and Dodgers fan base don't like the Astros. No, it's most of baseball doesn't like this team and these players, and the fact that they still get to play and all of their players had nothing happen to them. And you know, to make it worse, you're not going to bring it up, and you're going to highlight one of the worst ones about it. Or with it, through it, whatever.
Yeah, and that's hate it. And that's not to say the broadcast as a whole is terrible. I just really think that, I mean, Alex Rodriguez just, he just really brings down anything for me. There's just nothing better than a notorious cheater asking cheaters about cheating. That's just, for me, is just peak MLB performance.
Yeah, right there. That's a personal foul.
It's bad. You know, every single time he talked, I was like, dude, at least do some sort of research. Do something, man. Because ESPN as a whole puts out a great product, in my mind. I think that they do a very good job with everything that they do. I think that their reporters and their journalists are some of the top-notch, highest-level guys. Mm-hmm. But, man, him, just the one thing that got me that just, like, put me over the edge, and it's such, like, a simple thing, but, like, Dylan Floro throwing a slider and having him call it a cutter was just like, dude, like, you have one job. You're a hitter. You're supposed to know these kind of things. Like, at least show that you put some sort of effort into it. Like, oh, he throws that slider, you know, pretty often. I'm like, yeah, man, that's stop mixing things up, please.
Well, that was probably the worst thing, and we see a lot of people. We got Melo talking about Alex. I love it, Rodriguez.
I love it.
He has his catchphrase, and it's bad.
They at least should he sticks
leave,
to it.
They should leave A-Rod in the studio. He's much better being a studio analyst, and he's not good at that. But he has no place in an active broadcast booth in game. It's just no. That's a no for me, Doug. I'm gonna go with that. But the people hate it. I don't know if people honestly hated the ESPN broadcast more, or if they hated Kenley just staying in the game. That nightmare inning, as he put it, he called it a nightmare inning. It didn't end. And at some point it should have, and it should have been because Dave was coming out to take the ball. Whoever was ready. It doesn't take Kelerick that long to get ready. Kelerick comes in pretty quickly, gets three outs, gives up, you know, a run of Kenley's or whatever the hell it is. But
was that his single worst outing of his career? I mean,
might be, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some rough ones, but I don't ever think that I've ever seen anything like that from him before. Like, he, to go 0-2 on a guy and then to, you know, to have your catcher set up in a spot that's out of the zone, obviously 0-2, you're not attacking the zone. You're trying to get him to chase on a pitch off the plate or getting a setup pitch, you know. To do that and to throw a fastball right down the middle, I mean, multiple times. I don't know how you can be more off than that. Yeah. Like, you're not shocking a guy by throwing a fastball down the middle. Man.
Maybe by that time. Rough. Let's be real. The Astros are cunning stunts. They know how to find a way to, how do I say this, cheat and rob teams of fair play. There was a lot of active audio and video equipment around that, those broadcasts. Maybe somebody threw that earpiece in. Do we hear any trash cans? Do we hear any banging on cardboard cutouts? You be the judge.
No, I think it was just like, hey, he's going to throw the cutter, and that's what's happening today.
He's never thrown the cutter.
Roach over at Periscope says, it made me miss Brandon League. And if you've been a Dodger fan long enough to know why Dodgers fans hate Brandon League, you'll understand. That's a statement.
I love how much Roach has learned to play, like, to tug at our heartstrings and to play with the crowd here that's on the stream, because he knows that anytime you mention any bad Dodgers or any either bad or lovable, I guess any Dodgers from the last 10 years, we're probably going to be like, oh, or have some thought
that's
on
good,
it. Yeah.
I like nostalgia.
Go with players,
know?
Yeah.
I like talking about the lower-level players that you kind of just forget about, like Ramon Troncoso.
Remember my first words?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was a big-time Ronald Belisario.
Belisario?
Ronald Belisario kind of girl.
Yeah, we're really struggling with reliever names today.
Well, they're a bunch of nobodies.
Oh.
Speaking
of nobodies,
We're in San Diego as Dan misses Carlos Frias, legend.
We're in Pasadena. We're not in San Diego.
We being the Dodgers, who are us. Dodgers are down in San Diego for the most biggest series ever in the history of the universe this year, probably, as I took Dave's statement, as he begrudgingly said it. We got Justin thrown into Sean Figgins. David, I gave people the secrets.
Oh, Sean Figgins, man.
Do you remember that guy? So we decided before this show to, instead of going with... I'll say our bad takes, air quote bad takes, for the sake of trolling. We brought in, we're bringing in, we don't want to do it alone. We got to bring in somebody who actually knows or claims to know about the Padres. You know, we gotta turn on the game faces here. This is a rivalry, so we got to be mean to Ryan. We're going to bring in host of the Believe in Padres podcast, Padres Prospects podcast with Ryan Hart, Mr. Ryan Hart. Ryan, can you hear me?
Yeah, you guys are trolling me already. I'm not even on there yet.
I mean, we got to start early, man. It's a rivalry week. We got to, you know, we got to get the shots in while we still can't. Yeah, try saying rivalry week.
Yeah.
Tough. Yeah, I'm gonna pass on trying to say that. Yes.
Sorry, we've been already drinking some of our sponsor goodies. But number one, how are you doing, man? And number two, how excited are you personally as a Padres fan for the series?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I had Clint on my podcast a few weeks ago, so
with already. No, I'm just messing around.
Glad we can build some kind of camaraderie between the two shows. You know, there can be peace between us.
Yes.
And, yeah, Padre fans, Padre's Twitter. I mean, you guys are familiar with what Padre's Twitter is all about. Very excited for the series. The Padres haven't been good for a long time, and we don't get to brag as often as we would like. And so, you know, you got to take advantage of it while it's available. It's a huge series.
And I've been somebody, anybody who's been listening to Blue Heaven for quite some time knows that I've been pretty high on the Padres, except for when we want to troll them here on the show. But the Padres have been a team that's right there. Last year, at the start of the year, they were knocking on the door. They were pounding on that door maybe a season sooner than we thought. This year, you know, the glaring obvious need was the bullpen has fallen apart. You got Kirby Yates, rest in peace over there for him. They go and trade for everybody in the world, and now you have a really, really good ball club. Winners of 7 in a row, 9 of their last 11. What are your thoughts now? I knew them before, but what are your thoughts now post trade deadline on them Pods?
They did pretty much everything they needed to do. They checked all the boxes off the grocery list. So they upgraded the bullpen. Trevor Rosenthal has been fantastic. They had the worst catchers in baseball. Now they have some of the best offensive catchers in baseball. Mitch Moreland has been kind of hit or miss so far, but with Hosmer down now, so it makes it look like an even better deal. They are able to transition to Mitch Moreland and haven't really missed a beat. It's one of the best offenses in baseball. If the pitching ever comes around, which, you know, they added Mike Clevenger, one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I know you guys are huge Mike Clevenger fans.
Big time.
they're a complete team, and it's really fun to see them catching up to the Dodgers, and this series is going to be, you know, kind of make or break for who's going to win this division, probably. If the Dodgers can win the series, then, you know, the Padres kind of just fall back and say, okay, well, especially the fans are going to say, well, you know, first place and fourth place and for the playoff picture doesn't really mean a whole lot different than, you know, winning the division isn't a huge difference. So it's an exciting time, and the team is good, and this is going to be a fun series. The Padres would love to win the division if they have a chance, but realistically, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
I think all of baseball, honestly, would love to see the Padres win the division just because 7 in a row feels like enough, but not here in L.A., but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, we were talking about it before. We were talking about going into the series, and basically we were like, yeah, I mean, whoever wins the series, I think ultimately, maybe Clint agrees with me, maybe not, but I think ultimately walks away with this division. You know, you're looking at the strength of schedule moving forward. Padres got a little bit easy runway into the postseason the rest of the way, despite having a little bit of a rough schedule early on. So the Dodgers have to face Oakland, and that's something that's really going to bite us. We also have to face the Angels, which on paper they're a very bad team, but the Dodgers also tend to struggle with the Angels because why not? It's Los Angeles. That's what we do. but you're looking at less than two weeks left in the season, 13 games left. Did you expect this team, you know, you're looking at it from the beginning of the season, did you expect at this point to be just 2.5 games back in the division?
Absolutely not. And I think any Padre fan that says otherwise is lying to themselves. And I've been a Padre fan my whole life. I know what Padre fans are like, so pump the brakes, you guys. the team is great, and they're getting historic performances, best possible outcomes from a lot of the players. So, you know, when you go into a season, you have player A, he has a range of outcomes, as you guys know. So he can, you know, a player like Manny Machado, his best outcome is kind of what we're seeing now. His worst outcome is maybe kind of what we saw last year, hitting 250 with a 315, 320 on base. Cronenworth has become a legitimate NL Rookie of the Year front runner. Machado's an MVP candidate. Tatis is an MVP candidate. Will Myers looks like he's an MVP candidate, at least for a couple votes here and there. I don't think he's going to win it, but
that finally has paid off.
We were playing a long game with Will Myers, so we knew we were coming in. We were targeting 2020, like, okay, that's Will Myers' year. But like, all the guys are having the best possible outcomes, and it's all come together at the right time. This rarely happens, so when it does, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Ryan, I mean, I'm looking at the Padres lineup. This is something that we've talked about for the past like 2 years now, where it was only a matter of time. We knew the Padres were coming. We knew that their time was going to be here sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. We didn't honestly think it was going to be this year, but obviously those moves have proven to make a pretty big difference. But you're looking at all these guys. I'm sure there's a lot of surprises in your lineup right now. If you have to pick one guy out of the lineup that's been the biggest surprise from you, for me, it's Will Myers. If I'm just going to be upfront with you, it's going to be Will Myers. But is there a guy on this team that you were like, holy crap, I was not expecting this in 2020?
The first guy I thought of was Jay Cronenworth. So he was just kind of a throw-in addition in the trade with the Tampa Bay Rays, a guy that, coming into the season, a lot of people in the prospect community had in like the 20-ish range of prospects. And the Padres have a very good prospect system, but nobody thought Jake Cronenworth was going to run away with the second base job. And coming into spring training, you give the job to Jerickson Profar. You like the Preller has always kind of had his eye on Profar. He has prospect pedigree that's much higher than Cronenworth's. And Cronenworth, we're like, okay, he can throw a little bit. He can be versatile around the infield. Nice guy to have.
Yeah.
And then Eric Hosmer gets hurt. He takes over first base. And then when Hosmer comes back, Cronenworth was so good that he just won the second base job. And he's been good defensively. He's been amazing offensively. He's a little bit older for a prospect, but at 26 years old, it's not old yet. So I think for me, it's been Jake Cronenworth. And if he wins Rookie of the Year, it's one of the best stories in baseball this year.
I agree with that 100%. The dude's been nuts, and he deserves the accolades and the praise. And sure, it's a short season, but for him to, kind of stretch it out and keep it running for this entire season, that's great. All the power to the kid, man. He's probably going to fall off the face of a cliff next year, but that's not that's not your guys' problem.
I remember that first series when we first kind of got a look at him. Like across the board, across Dodgers Twitter, it was like, who the hell is this guy? Where did this guy come from? And I think that's like an awesome thing about the, I guess you can say it about the NL West in particular, like just in general, is that the NL West has a tendency to find these guys through the draft system, through whatever it might be. Like Dodgers are notorious for just finding random ass people that show up and just produce. And I think the same can be said of the Padres. We're getting a lot better at it. And I mean, Cronenworth is a really good example of that, because that kid is ridiculous and seems like he's all over the diamond no matter where he's playing. He's just always like a ball magnet, it feels like.
Ball magnet. Yeah, nice reference. Don't need too many ball magnets, but he's definitely one of them. Mm.
Sounds very romantic there. So we made it this far, and Brooke, I haven't heard you take a crap on Chris Paddock.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's one of his favorite pastimes right there.
It was a lot more fun to do it when he was, doing really well, and a lot of people hyped him up and everything like that. I as a lifelong Dodger fan, I would not have taken any issue with it had experts not compared him to Clayton Kershaw in his prime. And that was where I took issue. And that is, that's not necessarily anything on Padres fans. I think that's more falls on analysts that don't know what they're talking about, which happens far too often. But man, what on earth happened to Chris Paddock this year, man?
Well, I've never heard the Kershaw comparison. That's news
terrible
to me.
It almost made me throw my computer.
Yeah, that was like, wasn't that like around his debut last year?
It was two starts in. I think they got ahead of it a little bit.
Well, I'll take your word for it. Analysts and fans love to overreact to things, and Chris Paddock, I think people love the personality just as much as the talent with Chris Paddock. He's a really fiery guy. They love his attitude. They love that he doesn't back down from people. And I see more of like, I don't know, a Max Scherzer, Garrett Cole mentality, at least. I don't see the Kershaw comparisons at all, but he's a fun guy to root for. He's a fun guy to watch. He's got a lot of talent, and coming up through the system, he was always kind of a two pitch pitcher. And I think people thought, he's got an elite changeup. He's got a good fastball. I mean, maybe not throwing 100 miles an hour, but he's got the command that the fastball plays up a lot. And this year, the fastball command has been off, and you've been seeing it with the walks. He's missing it in the zone a lot. and he hurt his ankle in his last outing. So, you know, the fastball velocity was down. He got hurt a little bit. So I wouldn't worry too much about Chris Paddock. I think he's going to be good long term, and I think fans are starting to realize, okay, he was really exciting when he first came up. He's not going to be the ace pitcher that we think he was going to be. And even coming up through the system, I was like, okay, let's slow down on the Chris Paddock. He's really good. I like him as a number two. I don't like him I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 pitcher in baseball, but this year is just going to be one of those years. You know, some pitchers, if you have a few bad starts, it's going to be a lost season for you. And we're kind of seeing that with Chris Paddock.
I mean, the good news is you don't need him as an ace this year. I mean, you guys have found like some ridiculous talent. I mean, obviously you get, obviously you get Clevinger to just add to the starting rotation.
Yeah, the number five guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get Lamet, who is just, I mean, you look at his peripherals, you look at the advanced stats on him, you look at that guy from every single angle. Like, even if you, trust me, I've tried to find flaws with him that I can argue against somebody. You can't. There is nothing in his numbers that tells you otherwise that he is not a great pitcher. And, you know, we've talked about the fact that we are very thankful that the Dodgers don't have to face the Padres in a 3-game series in the playoffs, because that is, you know, in terms of the Dodgers, that is just like them to drop a 3-game series to literally anybody on earth. But the Padres having that 1-2 punch mm-hmm. of starting pitchers, holy crap, man. Like, I don't know what Lamet's doing this year. I don't know where the hell he came from. I don't know anything about him, honestly.
Zach Davies throwing smoke in mirrors.
Yeah.
The corpse of Garrett Richards rising, resurrecting, and that's that spin rate curveball still being what it used to be in Anaheim. It's a fun-looking team, and I wish it was in any other division, to be honest, because I would like to be able to like them. But, I mean, either way, I love Fernando Tatis. But, yeah.
They're fun. They're really fun to watch. I wish they weren't in our division so I could watch them.
Where am I at? So I was pulling it up in the background. I was like, what was the last team, the last Padre team to make the playoffs? It was 2006. Was anybody alive back then? Brooke, were you alive? Ryan, were you alive in 2006?
I was around, crying, you know.
Looking at some of the names on this roster, you got Piazza, you got Agon, Josh Barfield, who flamed out, Khalil Greene, which is just,
Khalil Greene.
That's a throwback name for the ages right there. Vinny Castillo, you guys remember those days? Vinny with the pods. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts in left field, Mike Cameron, and Brian Giles. Roach throws that up. Perfect timing, the legend of Brian Giles. What the hell? Like, the difference, and I can only imagine what kind of weird frustration and nostalgia that could bring, like, for a Padres fan to think about how long it's been since the team has been borderline relevant to now. What is, like, hearing some of those names elicit in your memory box?
Well, they had, those are some fun names, and a lot of those guys were not at their best when they got to San Diego. Piazza, Castillo.
Yeah, 37-year-old Mike Piazza wasn't at his best.
Was Greg Maddux on that team?
That was the year Maddux went to L.A.
Are you guys, okay, jealous. But there's some fun names. There were some good teams. Khalil Greene, had such high hopes for Khalil Greene. There's been some good Padre teams since then. They had a good team in 2009. They had a good team in 2010. And they had that famous, you know, last, I don't know if you guys remember, this is famous in San Diego history, the Matt Holliday never touched home plate game in game 163. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were down early. Adrian Gonzalez hits a grand slam in Coors Field to bring them back. And they're leading at the end of the game, and Hoffman blows it, because that's what Hoffman was known for at the time. I mean, I saw the Kenley Jansen game the other day when you were playing the Astros, so feel for you guys there.
Yeah.
But it has been a long time. Even if you're counting 2010, it's been a decade of kind of rebuilding, and there was some excitement around 2015 when Preller came in and made a whole bunch of sexy moves in the offseason and won the offseason, and they didn't do anything. They were just as bad. So this team is young and good and controllable, and it's definitely the most fun we've had being Padre fans in a decade.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Padres are around. I mean, I think Dodgers fans, you know, we're pretty realistic about it a lot of times. Obviously, being a Dodger fan, we're kind of used to winning. We're kind of used to doing really big things all the time. Whatever. It is what it is. The Padres are around. They're going to compete for a long time. I want to know from your perspective, since you know this team a lot better than we do. Trust me, we look for weaknesses. We look for things that we can exploit. But in your mind, what are the biggest weaknesses for San Diego heading into October? What are areas that make you a little bit nervous?
I'm being descriptive, as descriptive as possible. We need to write these down.
Yeah, we got
to
send them to Dave.
Yeah, but I'll tell Dave Roberts this. I don't know if there's any glaring weakness, to be honest. The offense has been consistent all year. They score runs late in games, so no lead has been safe. They hit with runners in scoring position. The offense, like, you're just going to have to deal with that offense, so sorry about it. But the starting pitching, if you catch Garrett Richards on a bad day, he throws a lot of pitches and could be in trouble. Lamette throws a lot of pitches. Paddock, if he's healthy in the playoff, they throw a lot of pitches. And if you get to him early, make him work, get him out of there early. I think the middle part of the bullpen is vulnerable. Pomeranz has been lights out at the back of the bullpen. Rosenthal's lights out. So make the guys throw a lot of pitches early, especially Lamette and Richards and Paddock, and hope that you can get to the middle part of that bullpen and do your damage there. But other than that, defensively, offensively, they've been pretty good all year. I don't see that changing.
Well, that didn't help us at all.
Ryan, you're supposed to inspire hope for our fans and our broadcast.
Last week we spoke with ESPN MLB insider Mr. Buster Olney. It was a fun time, and Olney was talking about how, you know, you look at this team, you look at this Padres team, it's the only team really out there that should elicit any fear in the hearts of Dodgers fans, and we've known that for a while. We choose not to believe it yet.
Or talk about it.
I mean, we know this series is going to be – it's going to go a long way in proving something, especially being that in just over 2 weeks' time, these two teams could be meeting up in October, which is going to be both a nightmare for just the fan bases, I think, either way, because it's going to be that constant anxiety just running at 99%. But at the same time, it's going to be fun to see, you know, the NL West kind of show out. How long the NOS has gotten crapped on by MLB. So that'll be fun to have really the two best teams. Well, they are the two best teams right now in the National League, coming from the Western Division. But as we look now ahead at this series and even into October, I know you're as part of your job as a podcaster, you're going to look to inspire your fans and kind of make them feel good and maybe look at some weaknesses on the Dodgers. What do you think the Padres are trying to exploit with LA?
I think it's probably going to be starting pitching. I think you guys have been vulnerable with starting pitching for the last couple of years. And one of my good friends, Dustin, who I've had on my podcast, is a lifelong Dodger fan. And when I talked to him, I was like, your pitching's not that intimidating. You have some really good pitchers, Buehler, Kershaw, and both, you know, well, Buehler's hurt right now, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that blister issue. Mm-hmm. And then Kershaw, like, if Kershaw was on my team, I'd be constantly worried about his back. He, the issues with his back are not going to be going away. They come up every year. You don't know when it's going to happen. And if it happens any time between now and the end of the season, you guys are kind of in trouble. And you traded Stripling. Ryu is gone. I think the depth of your starting pitching is potentially an issue in a short series. If you're missing Buehler or Kershaw for any of those games, that's pitching wins you playoff games and playoff series. We saw that with the Nationals last year. You're the best pitching, you're going to do well in the playoffs. And I'm not convinced that the Dodger starting pitching is going to be around or be healthy or be that good.
Yeah, I'm surprised a lot of fans would have probably said Dave Roberts being the biggest weakness in the postseason for the Dodgers.
Man, you guys turned on him quickly. What happened?
It's been a few years now, man. Yeah. You gotta be around for the whole ride to really understand Dodgers fans and their relationship with Dave Roberts, because it is rough.
Yeah,
I'll trade you Tingler for Roberts straight up right now.
I'm good. Dave Roberts likes fun, as we know. Hingle McTingleberry does not like having any fun.
Hey, we sat him down and told him this is a fun team, and you're going to have to change your attitude if you want to stick around, and yeah. I think he's come around. The guys like him.
I was going to say, we haven't spoke since that happened. What was your thought on that whole the start of Slam Diego?
Oh, God. It was a very dark day for baseball and for sports in general when you have a manager sitting his star player down telling him to not try too hard, and when you have the other manager insulted that being down 7 runs in the 8th inning, the other team is supposed to step off the gas a little bit. This is professional baseball, you guys. This isn't high school. And it wasn't, it was a 7-run, get out of here, 7-run lead. So it was really upsetting to hear both managers after the game. And then the national media and the national fans kind of just came storming to the defense of Tatis and the Padres. And that made me feel really good. It made the Padres, it put the Padres on, you know, under a spotlight for the rest of the country. And that's something that we're not used to. And it's great. I think long-term, it was very good for the Padres. It got us a lot of national exposure, got Tatis a lot of exposure, and showed how good we were. And like, you know, we don't give a crap. We're going to hit grand slams on you. And they did it the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. It was unreal. It was a really exciting time to be a Padre fan. It's a shame that no one was at those games. That's what I'm going to remember the most. It sucks. 2020 sucks, but you know, we're going to deal with it. And it was a great time to be a Padre fan.
I'm honestly, it was a great time to be a baseball fan, to see baseball players and fans really rally around it, to see that the old guard is eventually kind of going to get squashed out. It's promising for the future of baseball, maybe in 10, 15, 20 years, if we all still exist, that maybe something fun and more watchable and more appealing to the younger fan base is going to be out there. Of course, Trevor Bauer was big on defending him too, which is great to see because Bauer's really big about the game. We got a question here in the stream from Mello, and I liked it, and I'm gonna preface it a little bit better. So Padres fans are about to experience something that Dodgers fans got to experience for one postseason, and that is playoff Manny Machado, who was a whole world of headlines in a few short series. Do you think Manny Machado is going to show up in this postseason?
So I was on the record as really disliking Manny Machado before he came to the Padres. And I didn't really want him on the team. And if he's not on your team, you kind of hate him because he was really unlikable for a few years there. But saying all that, I think we've seen him turn a corner, and it's not just because he's playing really well. He's playing some of the best baseball of his life, which is saying a lot. I think the team has rubbed off on him in a really positive way, and him not having to be the only star. I know he wasn't the only star on the Dodger team, but he, you know, was a midseason acquisition. Maybe he didn't really feel like he felt fit in that great. I don't know what's going on in his head, but being around this group of guys, being the mentor to a young star Tatis, it's kind of like having a kid. Like, it changes you. I think when you're the old star now and you get to watch a new star come up and you're responsible for him, he's kind of changed his attitude. He's become a great teammate. Everyone loves him. Mm-hmm. He's having the best year of his career. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I don't think there's any reason to not expect that in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's having fun, which is more than I can. I mean, obviously, you go from a team that you've been on for so long to the Dodgers in the middle of a season. I mean, going from the Orioles to the Dodgers in the first place is a very strange transition, for sure.
That's a culture shock.
You know, changing teams in the middle of the season's got to be weird. He does look like he's having a lot more fun than I've ever seen him have on a baseball field. He doesn't look pissed off all the time like I usually see him. He looks like he's really taken to Tatis. He looks like he's really enjoying the team that's around him. He seems to have found his home, obviously, with the long contract that is his home. But I mean, honestly, like I was a really big Manny Machado fan before he was on the Dodgers. Liked him a lot when he was on the Dodgers. I thought he got way too much flack from Dodger fans as the playoffs were happening. There's the conversation of you guys know that we don't make it to the World Series if he wasn't on the team, right? And Dodgers fans don't really seem to accept that ever. The same thing with Yu Darvish, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I will say it is good to see him enjoying his life and having fun and thriving and being the player that we all knew that he could be. With that being said, I hope that he does not touch a baseball in October at all. That'd be good.
Wait, good luck with that.
Yeah, like, how would that happen? Are you wishing injury upon the man?
No,
that's
cold-blooded. Just no balls to him. He can't swing at it. He's just nothing at all. Opposite of a ball magnet, if you will.
Oh.
Ball repellent? Deterrent? Yeah, that's good.
You guys let us know in the comments below what we should go with.
We're bad at science. Someone help.
So the last time I talked to you also, you threw me for that somewhat curveball because I think it had just been introduced at the time or was just being talked about. Now it's all but set. Playoff bubble. I want to know just your, as a baseball fan, personal thoughts on this playoff bubble.
Well, you're lucky because I have some thoughts. it's a damn shame that the World Series is going to be in that Lowe's warehouse they have out in Texas. It's disgusting. What the constant trolling early in the season didn't like set off some kind of siren in MLB headquarters, like, right. Oh, let's not put the World Series, our biggest event, in that dump of a new stadium that I don't know how it got approved. But it's fun that, you know, the AL, you know, division and then ALCS are going to be here in the Southern California. It's cool that, you know, the Southern California bubble is a thing. I think it's a good idea in principle that they're going to, you know, do the two bubbles. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense for travel and stuff. It's going to, you know, make things easier on the players. But, you know, I don't know. I get why they did the NLAL thing because, you know, you see the Dodgers and the Padres are going to be in the playoffs. You don't want them to have home field throughout and then vice versa in the American League. But why is the World Series in Lowe's? I don't understand. Why put it almost anywhere else? I'd be fine. Anywhere where the weather is acceptable, put it in Tampa. Like, it's just, that's just as good.
Like,
so I don't,
like you said, MLB gets the alarm. They hear the siren. They're not aware. Rob Manfred isn't aware that it's a bad siren. It's saying, "Hey, people don't like this." I think he's he's got a,
people are talking about it. Yeah, this is a good idea.
He's got a few wires switched. He's like, "What's that? Baseball wants us to take longer to start the short season, the short COVID season." All right, we're gonna talk more to Tony Clark about it, and that pushed baseball. Well, let's just do that with that. What? No All-Star game? What's that? You hate fun? What's that? You guys hate booze in the playoff? Oh, you love booze? I guess that means they hate it.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about noted Texas fan Rob Manfred, so, you know, we got to run with that. Ryan, you know, I don't know if you heard this one today, MLB talking about having no booze celebration. First of all, we miss out on drunk John Lester if we don't have the booze celebration, which is its own thing, and I'm really upset about that. Do you have any opinions on the post-game celebration? I feel like they could be responsible with it, just like they have the whole season, right?
Yeah.
Why is MLB sticking their nose in the celebrations in the clubhouse? I don't know why. These guys are all quarantined together anyway.
Exactly.
Why does champagne affect that at all? It's Manfred, if there's decision to be made about something in baseball and you ask Rob Manfred to make the decision, just, it looks like it's going to be the wrong decision every time now. So like, he's set that precedent. I don't have any confidence in Rob Manfred going forward. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I've yet to hear it explained in a way that it makes sense.
At least he's consistent with his bad decisions, so we know what to expect now.
Do we call this a slump, or is this just a bad career for him? Because he's like 0 for 10 this year.
What is he, 5 years in now? What's his career at? He's a couple years in. He's not doing too hot, but 2020 is a really bad year for old Robbie.
He needs to go Costanza and just do the opposite. And like,
all right, guys, I'm out.
It's the summer of Rob.
It's the summer of Rob. We'll end on that high note then. We'll go ahead and let you go. I'll leave you with this one. It was a great comment here from my friend Ernie, from Mr. Mota. He says that stadium over there in Texas looks like a Tony Hawk level, and I just think
it's pretty good.
That's also a premium comment.
Good call.
Final thing for you. What are your predictions for this three-game series?
I think they're going to be electric games. With the last time we saw these two teams play, the games were all tight and fun, and I think we're going to see the same thing. And I'm predicting the Padres get their first series win of the year and take 2 out of 3.
Oh, well, there you go.
Thanks for not saying that. Sweet. We appreciate that.
I'm at that button. My booze was in the way of the boo button. Ryan, tell people where to find you and where to find the podcast.
We're on Twitter. Follow us. Appreciate any followers at Friar Farmhands. And then if you get the urge to hate the Padres a little bit more and want some content about it, we're on, you know, everywhere you listen to podcasts. The podcast is called Believe in Padres Prospects. That's Believe, BLEAV.
Perfect. Ryan Hart, we appreciate the time, buddy, and we hope we all come out of this series alive and healthy.
Yeah, if you guys lose, remember to stay off Twitter.
Appreciate it.
We just go in headlong.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Take it easy, man. Bud. Bye. So, on that note now.
Do you see me behaving?
You did behave. We're proud of you somewhat.
I support baseball, and I like baseball players, and I like baseball teams, and I like baseball fans. So, I
think some in the audience will feel that you were a coward.
I said what I needed to say.
Hold on, wait. Let me comment real quick. Brooke was a coward.
He didn't go after me, which, you know, he's a good dude, so he's not going to do that. But
and I wonder if the Lowe's thing was a thing of his own, or if that was something of him being a friend of the show. I guess we'll have to ask.
I don't know, but if it wasn't, that was pretty amazing. That one got me. I mean, that's a highlight of the interview for me.
So, Santiago says, Now that he's gone trash.
No. If he was a bad person, yeah, we'll go after him any day of the week.
He's a good dude.
Good dude, knows his baseball, knows his stuff.
Nice kid, friend of the show.
See, isn't it good when you can have baseball friends that don't like the same team as you? No, it's not. It's wild. It.
Again, give him a follow at Friar Farmhands. But we brought it up. We brought up our final topic, and I'm going to call this the Jim Beam hot shot of the week. Because as you can see, there's Jim Beam on the table. It is
there
a hot
is?
Shot. It's the most recent bad development from Major League Baseball, and it happened just today. Rob Manfred and MLB at it again. Let's dig into it. If Rob's sole purpose is to be hated, if that's like his goal in life, he is knocking this out of the park.
Job well done.
He's doing a killer job. But we assume it isn't. And I'll sidebar and say I understand it.
Do you?
I understand the optics behind wanting to have it be social distanced in a way.
Okay.
But for them to say completely absent of booze,
right,
seems odd, because you could like celebrate, you know, have a beer with the bros, as it were. Not, hey everybody, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna do the Cody Bellinger walk off Wii thing when they win the World Series? Like, what the hell?
I mean, I'm pretty down with that. That was one of my favorite moments of 2020. 2020's pretty much sucked, but that was a top tier. I really enjoyed that one. Just the fact that like Cody had no idea what to do in the first place was really good.
Well, I mean, that's like par for the course with Codes.
I just want to see Clayton Kershaw drown Gavin Lux in a bathtub of beer. Like, is that too much to ask? Like, I'm not asking too much. If I can't be there as a fan, at least let me watch you guys get drunk on TV. What's the point of baseball if I don't get to watch you guys be drunk on TV after you clinch a division?
There are no players in the locker room that I think have it. Bruzdar has not. No, because he was on the Twins last year. So I think everybody's at least taken part in it. In a celebration. Yeah. So that's at least like somewhat nice. But
Dusted?
No, Dustin was there last year.
He's part of
the. Didn't he pitch the game they clinched?
The clincher, yeah.
Yeah. So, or Gavin, definitely Gavin was there because he hit his first home run or something like that in that game. It's dumb. It's frustrating. Alex Wood today on Twitter immediately saw that and was like, can we at least do it out on the concourse? I mean, it's like the fans are going to be there. And I, of course, immediately suggested, sure, they can do that, but they should be charged $16 a beer, because that's only fair if you're out amongst the concourse and amongst all the fine Levy establishments at Dodger Stadium. You should have to.
I think the clubhouse attendants would prefer that, actually.
Just leave it for the people out there that's got to hose it down. Hey, it gives the ushers a job again, or the other stadium cleanup crew.
Yeah, you got a whole night of working, because that's some work to put in to clean up all that beer and champagne.
Chris Canetta, you said champagne, it threw me off. Chris Canetta says, I feel like Manfred is trying to get fired by doing such a bad job, but he's just too stupid to realize he unfortunately cannot, because the owners like him, and he's supposed to be a servant to the owners.
Right.
But again, it's understandable. The reason everything is so weird and dumb is because we're in a pandemic, so why would you want to be flinging germs? And there's a gif-able for you there. Eric, if you're still around, there's a gif-able.
Do that.
Or anybody else, go ahead and gif that.
Please take my face out of that.
Hold on, wait here. Let me make it better for people as I do that. There, now it's gif-able. It's gif-able. Thank you. Back to you in the studio. Thanks, me. You don't want to... Is it perpetuate? You don't want to give the players the opportunity to get a little Lester drunk and you know, start doing dumb things. They're going to automatically pour it. Kershaw's not going to be able to have the opportunity to let it burn. He's got to let it burn. There's so much that's bad about it, but to say they can't drink, it's pretty dumb. Logic and reasoning aside, again, people and players are not happy. So I liked your idea. Brooke over here had an alternate idea. You guys, if you have an alternate idea, right now is the time to drop them into the comments. What should baseball do instead of spewing beer all over each other's faces and chests? Pause for effect. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, what should be the alternative? Go ahead and give them yours.
In the wise words of Ross Dribbling, I want to finish on the face. My alternative... Bless up, Brother Ross.
We'll miss you, buddy.
My alternative, personally, I mean, here's the problem. You're talking about playoff bubbles. You're talking about no alcohol. I have the ultimate solution to all your issues, Rob Manfred. You're going into a playoff bubble. Let's ban water from the playoff bubble. Imagine, if you will, Mookie Betts, first base, ball in the gap by Corey Seager. Mookie goes first to home, gassed out of breath, comes into the clubhouse. What's waiting for him on the bench right there? A frosty, ice-cold Modelo for him to shotgun. Let's get it done. Let's get it going. Imagine Cody Bellinger six Modelos deep in the third inning, crushing home runs. I'm all for it. I don't see any downsides here. I can't imagine any.
It checks off. It checks off all the boxes.
I play better when I've had one or two beers. There's a level that you exceed those, and not so much.
No, you have more fun. You don't know if you play better. Do you play better?
Do I play better?
I don't know. I mean, we don't drink at the softball.
I've never had a
rest in peace softball.
Remember when we used to have fun?
Yeah. I too have never had alcohol in my life, but we got some good comments coming in on the comment machine here. Santiago takes mine. I said, I'm all for just turning it into full-blown slosh ball.
Just
why not?
Get to second base.
Second base, you chug a beer. The third inning is the beer inning. And then Chief Wickham would say, hey, we know how to play softball.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Leslie wants confetti cannons. Katie wants to bring back the bubble machine. The bubble machine is a crowd pleaser. That's a classic. That makes me think of one.
But, yeah, so if we do, we got to get back Uribe up there.
He's not busy. I don't think he's doing much.
I don't know. Bobble if you're busy. He's free.
He's not busy. Yeah, there's a lot. People have suggestions, but I don't think any of them are as good as eliminating water from the playoff bubble. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, we don't need water. We got Jim Beam. We got cola. We're good. Yeah, the confetti cannons. I liked, we liked Silly String. Eric asks, how long is this show? How long do you want it to be, bud?
I don't know why that got me, but that one sent me, Eric. I appreciate that. That's the equivalent of, when is this going to be over?
You son of a bitch. Mota says, beer ball. Yeah, I'm down for that. Sierra says she doesn't play better, and I concur. I've seen it slightly. Eric asks, how was the show? What do you rate today?
How do you guys rate today?
I feel like this is a bad idea.
Sometimes I kind of just check out.
Just yeah. Cut. Big Steve gives us a play-by-play. He says, Peterson on his way to second, and again he stumbles rounding first base. Now, this is where this is wrong. That would infer that he got a hit. Are we talking about the same Jock Peterson, or are we talking about Stu?
It's either a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. That's it. Those are the big three.
This is an Indy car that drinks, the guy that drinks milk at Indy 500. Oh. Yeah, no.
No.
My boy Wani over here says, happens in golf all the time. Yeah, I mean, that's why you have golf carts, because you need a place to put the beer.
Oh, I thought to drive you, because you know.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe
it. I've walked 18 holes.
Coward.
Would not recommend it.
Jesus probably has the right answer, bright idea. Leave it as it is. I don't know. I don't know if we should leave it as it is. Shouldn't be in the dugout. You shouldn't be spraying it. I liked Alex Wood idea. Let them go out in the field. Let them go somewhere where they could hose it off easy. Even John Lester's puke, whatever it is, or oldest Chapman shit in his pants, whatever it is. Better than shaving cream, better than Silly Strings, even though... Wait, Katie, you want them to shoot fireworks at each other? Is that what we're going with
like
here?
Roman candles, just like... Shoot.
I mean, we've all been there. You grew up in Corona. I know you're an IE boy. I know you've been there. Wait, can you guys afford fireworks out there?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get them in a guy's trunk, but yeah, you can.
Well, is there any better way to do it?
No, there's not.
Anyway, it sucks.
Almost game time?
It is almost game time. It's at 6:10. So we're going to pretty much hit the wrap it up button. You got one last note? You got anything you want to add?
I will say that I am going to stick to my prediction that whoever wins this series ends up taking the division. So with that being said, please, Lord, don't let the Padres win. I can't do that in 2020. That's all I have to add to that. It's not much.
Eric says, are you guys trying to compete with the actual Dodger game? Hey, over this weekend, we probably would have won. As the broadcast team, we had
that's true
a surprising amount of people DM us about that, because we're nobodies, generally speaking. I don't even know this guy's name.
The heck?
and we got caught. We got added. We got DM'd about that. You guys should be doing this game. So we would have beat, especially the ESPN broadcast. I feel confident in saying that my ability to call play-by-play or color commentary is 150 times better than that of Alex Pile of Crap Rodriguez.
I would not add much to a television broadcast, but I'm pretty sure I can bring like a Rick Monday flair. I don't know.
Because you played the game?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But you also like seem like the type that would want to respect the game too.
A little bit. Maybe I'm like a Chris Collinsworth. Just like, yeah, I don't know about that play there, but
so,
I'm not very exciting.
Dodgers win the series, sweep the series, lose the series. What is it?
I'm going to say, oh boy, you're not going to like this one, guys.
brings a screeching halt to our happiness.
I think that the Dodgers lose tonight. Right? But then go on to win the series. Does that make you feel? That's better, right? Like, it sucks losing the first game of the series. That's always, especially when it's Kershaw, because you really want Kershaw to do well.
Yeah.
I really need Kershaw to throw 7 shutout innings to get him back into the Cy Young conversation. He's not going to win the Cy Young, but I need him in the conversation because that wins me a bet. That's it.
I like how Kershaw's season is over after his one bad-ish start put his ERA all the way up to 1.98.
It's too high. Can't win Cy Young with a 1.98 ERA.
I think we learned a lot today, guys, and I think Ryan opened our eyes. Dodger fans, we just need to chill sometimes.
Yeah, we got a lot going on for us. I don't really know what to tell you. That's what happens when you win so many divisions in a row and lose back-to-back World Series and get cheated out of one and get knocked out of the playoffs by a bad team that ends up winning the World Series, and then 2020 ruins your life, and then Mookie Betts comes to your team, and then Mookie Betts signs a long contract, and then Jock Peterson dies. All the things that happen in a regular Dodger season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we got another solution here to the beer thing. This will be the final thing. We're gonna wrap it up.
Perfect.
Mrs. FRG says, "Fire truck full of beer. Spray him on the field." Now, is it a fireman doing that? Because they have better things to be doing with their time right now. Have you seen outside?
It's one of those like retired fire trucks.
Oh,
that they can't send.
Well, they
out
have
to the
one
fires.
Of those at Dodger Stadium now, but it's an ice cream truck. It's an ice cream fire truck.
They can shoot ice cream at them.
No, wait, no. The ice cream truck is that. The fire truck is the Michelada truck. Imagine if we can go see our new
Dodger
Stadium.
Shoot Micheladas at him?
Hell yeah.
That's like $4 million to do that.
Win-win. There you go. It works out. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you guys. Find more of us in writing form on DodgersNation.com. We are on the internet. That is a place that exists. Subscribe to Blue Heaven on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Player FM. I think we're on most of there right now. We are transitioning podcast host. Subscribe to YouTube. We have a channel there. We do things there. YouTube.com/DodgersNationTV. All one word.
We also get trash talk there by Padres fans, so that's really enjoyable if you guys want to come find us there. Guys, I am at BrookMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. He is at RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Dodgers Nation on Twitter, at Officials Dodger Nation on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for being so nice to the Padres fan and analyst and for not going after him and for not being mean, except in the comments where he can't see. We appreciate you. Go Dodgers. Let's get this bread. We'll see you next week.
Dodgers win the series. Win the first two. Lose the other one. Okay, bye. I realize I didn't do the thing. I didn't give my predictions. And that's the most important part.